I want to speak to you tonight on one of Christ's great and mighty miracles that is recorded for us in verses 25 to 34 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. This portion of Scripture that we read together records the healing of an unnamed woman in Israel who had an issue of blood. Sometimes this miracle has been called or referred to as the in-between miracle, because it happened in between Christ being requested to come to Jairus' home and heal his sick daughter who was at the point of death. And by the time the Lord actually got to that home, Jairus' daughter had died. And he spoke to her, he restored her to life, and he raised her. But between being asked to leave the place he was and attend Jairus' home and make his way to that place, as he was journeying there, there was a great multitude and a great crowd that thronged around him and gathered around him. Multitudes followed him. In that company, there was a woman who had an issue of blood, and she touched him. She came into the close presence of the Lord, and her mind and her thought was, if she could touch the hem of his garment or his clothes, that he would make her whole and take away her illness and her health problems, that she would be restored to health and to strength. At that moment, the Lord perceived that virtue had gone out of him. And he turned around and he asked, "Who touched me?" Now the Lord knew who had touched him. But he was asking the disciples to see if they had been paying attention or if they had noted who the woman was. How do I know that the Lord already knew? Well, he was omniscient. He knew all things. But do you notice how it's worded in verse 32? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. He looked around to see her. He knew. And he put his eyes upon her, and she came with fear and trembling and confessed all to him. And she confessed that she had touched the Lord and he had made her whole. It's interesting to compare the two recipients of blessing in this portion of Scripture. They are not only bound together because the Lord blessed them and healed them, restored them. They're not only bound together, the fact that they were both female, but they're bound together by the number 12. One was a young girl of 12 years of age. She was sick unto death in her 12th year. And the other was an older lady who had been sick for 12 years, for this issue of blood had afflicted her for 12 years. And yet the Lord was the answer for both these females. And I say tonight, no matter what age you are, whether you are young or old, no matter how long you've been afflicted in sin, Christ is the answer to your need, as Christ was the answer for both these girls, for both these women. He is the answer to your need, young or old. Male or female, Christ is the answer to your need. But I want us tonight to pay special attention to this older lady who came and touched the hem of Christ's garment and who was healed by the virtue of Christ. Three things about her this evening. Notice, first of all, her condition. I'm looking at verse 25, and it tells us a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And the phrase is, her condition is summed up in that little phrase, an issue of blood. The Bible uses very discreet language for a very serious health problem that afflicted this lady. The word issue means a flow or a loss of blood. And it seems to be that this lady had a constant loss of blood. Experts state and tell us that this illness would not only have caused her great discomfort and pain, it would have made her life very difficult. And if it had not been remedied, because it had gone on for such a long time, it could and would end in premature death. You'll notice at the end of verse 26 that because of this health problem and illness, that it grew worse after 12 years. The testimony of the Gospels, her testimony was that her problem was growing worse. She was slowly dying. But when you consider her problem and her condition, her biggest problem with her condition was that she had a health problem that could not be remedied by man. Do you notice verse 26? It says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. The issue and the problem that she had was not only leading her to a slow death, but it could not be remedied by the physicians or the doctors of the day. She had been to every doctor. Do you notice that? Many physicians. She'd been to them all. She had visited them all. She had consulted them all. She'd made requests from them all. She'd been to every doctor. She had tried every medicine. And I read in a commentary this week, just last night, in fact, the lists of remedies, the old remedies that the doctors would give for such a problem. And there was numerous remedies. No doubt she went to one and they prescribed one remedy. And she went to another and he favored another remedy. And she tried them all. You put yourself in her position. You think of any illness you have. And is it not the case that you'd be willing to try any remedy any doctor suggested that would help you in your condition? She'd been to every doctor. She tried every remedy. And she had spent every penny. You see that in verse 26? She'd suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. She'd emptied her purse. She'd spent her savings. She was living from day to day, hand to mouth. And any little extra she gained, she had spent it on the medical men of her day. Been to every doctor, tried every medicine, spent every penny, and yet the testimony is that her condition, rather than improving, it grew worse after 12 years. Her condition worsened and her suffering intensified. And I suggest to you this evening, you have in this poor, afflicted soul a picture and presentation of man in his state of sin. James 1 verse 15 says this, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And what James is saying there is that sin, it has a hold in man's life. It is working along certain lines. It is working along certain principles, a certain process. And when it is finished with you, It will bring forth death that is physical and that is eternal. Sin works slowly, steadily, and surely. God said to Adam in the Garden of Eden, the day thou eatest of the forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely die. And the day he ate, yes, he died spiritually. He was cut off from God. But the principle of death entered in, and he began the long march to the grave. For all those years, it worked. It brought him slowly, steadily, and surely to the place and point of death. Sin is working in the hearts and souls of men and women. Every child that is born, sin is at work, and it's bringing them to the point of death. And if man is not saved from his sin, he will perish in his sin. And the point I want to stress about man and his sin is this, that man's sin problem cannot be remedied by man. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You cannot remedy your own sin problem. You can't take away your own guilt. You cannot atone for your own sin. You cannot pay the debt you owe to God. It's not of works of righteousness which we can do, Paul said, writing to Titus. The answer for your sin problem, your guilt before God, your actual transgressions, is not in yourself, not the labors off my hands, can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. My friend, you can never work your way to heaven because you can never undo the broken law. And you can never pay the debt you owe to God for your sin. And I want to tell you, there's no other man on this earth that can grant you peace or pardon with the Lord. Peter, speaking to the Jewish Sanhedrin, he said those famous words in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men. There's no one else that can pronounce or grant to you or purchase for you salvation. Not pope, not priest, not preacher, not pastor. No other man apart from Jesus Christ has the power and the ability to take away your sin and to make you right with God and save your soul for all eternity. You can try the religious man. You can try the educated man. You can try all the men in this world. And I tell you, they don't have the answer for your sin. You'll be nothing bettered. But your soul will still be perishing. Unless you get to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's her condition. She had a condition that was bringing her slowly to the grave that could not be remedied by another. What a picture it is of you and your sin. Then I want you to notice, secondly, this evening, this woman's conviction. Look at verse 27 and 28. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. This lady was absolutely convinced. She was certain. She had conviction within her soul that if she could get to Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, she would be made whole. Notice the end of verse 28. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. That's conviction. That's confidence. That's certainty. The answer to my problem is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I shall be whole. And I tell you, men and women, tonight, and we would say this message to all of Portadown, He is the one who can make sinners whole. With absolute certainty and absolute conviction, it doesn't matter how long men have been held in the snare of sin. It doesn't matter how many years they've been afflicted. It doesn't matter how many years they've been addicted. It doesn't matter how many years they've rebelled against God and had no answer in themselves or in anything else. Jesus Christ can set the prisoner free. That's her conviction. And you'll notice her conviction was born out of what she heard about Jesus. Look at verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind. What made this lady come to Christ? What made her follow Him and endeavor to touch Him? It was by what she heard of Jesus. I don't know exactly what she heard. I don't know exactly the report that she was given, because we're not told. Maybe she was told about the centurion's servant, that Jesus just spoke a word and the centurion's servant was healed. Maybe she had heard about the demonic of Gadara being delivered from those demons. Maybe it was the blind man who had been made to see, or the sick of the palsy who'd rose up and walked. Maybe it was the report of Mark 1 and 34, He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. If He's healed those that are sick of many different diseases, if I just get to Him, He will make me whole. But that's her conviction. She heard about Him. And she knew by what she had heard, Jesus could deliver her. It's only through hearing the word of the gospel of Christ that man will be convinced that Christ is the answer to their need. John 5 and 24 says, He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. It starts with hearing the word of God. He that heareth my word and believeth. The sinner must hear first and be convinced in what he hears that Christ is the answer to his sin problem, and then he believes. Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can I say a wee word to every Christian tonight? Endeavor to continue to speak a word for Jesus. It might be to a loved one. Maybe you'll leave just a tract in their way for them to read. Maybe you'll have a little quiet word with them about their soul. We know it's difficult, especially to our nearest and dearest. Maybe it's to the work colleague or to the neighbor. Maybe it's just an invitation to a gospel meeting. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save, because it's in hearing what Christ has done for others in the salvation and the redemption of the gospel, and hearing the word of God, that will move men and women and convict them to consider that Christ is the answer for them when they're burdened with their load of sin. All men and women need to hear the gospel. That's why it's continued to be preached, and that's why we are to preach the word and the gospel of Christ. It's the hearing of Christ's words that lead man to the answer to sin's problem. Then you'll notice her conviction was not only born out of what she heard about Christ, but her conviction resulted in that thought she must have contact with Christ. Look at verse 28. For she said within herself, if I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. Matthew puts it like this in Matthew 9 and 20, that she touched the hem of His garment. Luke 8 and 44 describes it as the border of His garment. And commentators have suggested all various reasons why the garments of Christ were so significant. Some have likened it unto the garments of the great high priest. Christ is our great high priest. But I like this thought that the emphasis is laid on the hem or the border. And the hem or the border was the part where the garment ended or finished. And commentators describe this garment as a shawl or a cloak-type garment. And the hem would have been finished in some way, like the hem of a garment. I don't know much about sewing or clothes and the way they're finished and tailored, I think, is the word that I'm looking for. But you know what I'm talking about. It's the end of the garment, and it's hemmed in a certain way. And it was the end or the finishing of the garment. And she touched the part of his garment that was finished, or the end of his garment. And she was made whole. And I like the thought that some commentators made that by faith she grasped the finished part of his garment, the end part of his garment. Doesn't it remind us how the sinner is to lay hold by faith on the finished work of Christ? For on the cross, the Lord Jesus cried in John 19 and 30, "It is finished." All the work that was necessary to pay for the debt of man's sin was completed on the cross of Calvary. There the Son of God was made sin. That great transaction, that transfer of our guilt took place. It was laid upon Him. And the wrath of God that was our due upon the Lamb was laid when He became legally responsible for our sin, and He took our sins in His own body to the tree. The wrath or the punishment of God was poured out upon Him, and He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And He cried out in agonies of blood. He suffered all that was necessary to pay the debt for our sin. And with that cry, it is finished. He bowed his head and died. I say to every man and woman in this service tonight, the way that your soul is delivered from sin is by faith laying hold, trusting in the finished work of Christ upon the cross for the removal of your guilt and the forgiveness of your sins. That's why she came to Him. And I tell you, it is only when you are convicted in your heart that Jesus Christ is able to save you through His finished work on Calvary, that you yourself have no part to play in it, and no other man on this earth can deliver your soul. It's only then that it will drive you to Christ. And I ask you, do you know anything about that conviction? Have you experienced it? Have you laid hold on Christ? I come to the final thought tonight. We have considered this dear woman's condition. We have considered her conviction, but notice her cure. Look at verse 29. It tells us, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." I want you also to notice verse 34. "And He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." You'll notice from verse 34, the Lord Jesus, after He had turned round and looked upon her, and she made her confession to Him in fear and trembling, falling down and telling Him all the truth, her condition and how she had laid hold upon Him, that the Lord gave her this assurance, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." She was cured. That's a picture of the sinner. Thy faith hath made thee whole. When the sinner rests and trusts in and settles upon the finished work of Christ as their only hope and their only plea for the salvation of their soul and the forgiveness of their sin and the making them whole in the eyes of God, they're delivered from their sin. Do you notice that she was cured immediately? Verse 29, let's just concentrate on that verse as we bring the meeting to a close. There's a number of very brief thoughts I put to you from it. It says, and straightway. Matthew and Luke speak about immediately. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. It was instantaneous. And when you read and you study the miracles of Christ, you discover when the Lord healed, He did it instantaneously. And there's a very good reason for that. He wanted to teach men and women that salvation is not a process. It happens in a moment of time. All the miracles, they're pictures of salvation. You see, when God saves a soul, He opens the spiritual eyes of men. That's why He healed the blind. Gave them sight. It was to show that in salvation, our understanding to spiritual things, our spiritual eyesight is opened. When He gave the deaf their hearing, it was to teach us that when He saves a soul, He opens our ear to the gospel call. He made the lame to walk. It was to teach us that when He saves a soul, we begin to walk with the Lord. And this woman was no different. She was healed instantaneously because salvation, my friend, is not a process. Oh, we begin to walk with the Lord. We start a relationship with Christ, but our sins are forgiven. We're made right with God. We are justified in His sight. We pass from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light in a moment of time. That night, almost 25 years ago, when I knelt at my bedside, I knelt there as a sinner. I arose as a saint of God. I didn't know what a saint was then, but I arose a saint of God. It happened in a moment of time. My friends, get that into your mind. God saves in a moment of time. You pass from the kingdom of darkness, from the broad road that leads to destruction, onto the narrow way. You're saved. You begin that wonderful relationship with God through Jesus Christ that will last a lifetime and on into eternity. But He saves instantaneously. And then you'll notice that He saves completely. Because in verse 29, we're told the fountain of her blood was dried up. And the Lord uses that word, whole, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Salvation is full. We sang, full salvation, lo, the fountain open wide. The Lord's salvation isn't half-baked. He didn't do half a work for us. His salvation purchased on the cross, wrought out in our hearts when we believe. It's a full, it's a complete salvation. He died to redeem the body, or to redeem the soul. And in Him we have redemption through the blood. But He died to redeem the body as well. He died to deliver us not only from the guilt of our sin and the power of our sin, but from the very presence of our sin. My friends, it's a complete salvation. And we experience it in the redemption of Christ Jesus. The moment we come to faith, we taste of His salvation. But I tell you, it won't be until the day of the resurrection. When we die, our souls will enter into heaven. They'll be made perfect in holiness. And then when Jesus returns, we'll return with Him. And He'll raise our bodies from the grave. Our souls will be reunited. Our bodies will be glorified. And we'll be free forever from the very presence of sin. Then our victory shall be complete. It's a full and complete salvation. Justified not only in time and for time, but for all eternity, body and soul. It's a complete salvation. It's an instantaneous salvation. And I want you to notice this as we close. Her cure was felt. It was not only immediate and complete, but it was felt. It was experienced. Look at verse 29. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her that plague. I think it was W.P. Nicholson who said, "You can't be saved and not know it, and you can't be saved and not show it." Another preacher said that it's better felt than telt. And what they were trying to express was this, that when you are truly saved, when you experience the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, you experience it within and you have the knowledge of sins forgiven. Now I want, as we close, I just want to clarify this. We're not saved by our feelings, and we don't rely for assurance of salvation on our feelings. There may be days that you feel miserable. There may be days that the devil will attack you. There may be days that you have doubts and you have fears and you have concerns. But I'm saying to you that when you are saved, you will certainly know and experience in your heart assurance of sins forgiven. She felt it. The work of the Spirit is such that when He enters in, Paul said, His Spirit testifieth with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I tell you, what a blessed feeling it is to know that our sins have been taken away, never to be held against us, never to be remembered against us for our condemnation. What a wonderful blessing that is. Here was a woman and she suffered dreadfully for many years. And her physical healing is a wonderful picture and presentation of the salvation and the healing that is available for the soul in Christ. And my prayer is that as she felt it and really experienced it, that if you have not felt and experienced God's salvation, that you will come to, and you will even come to know it and experience it tonight.